can through it and then break it. There we go. Got another. Okay. We're continuing the hypothalamic recess. Okay. All right. So you got that. You find the point. You tap the point. You then make sure it's strong. You put it in circuit, and you do some other kind of supportive balancing, getting emotions, anything else that you want to do to make sure that you've done everything you can to support this. Okay? So did you have another question then?
No, I was just saying, was that the end of the process, or is there another step?
That's the end of the process for the hypothalamic reset. Now, I want to go a little bit farther about other ways to use those reset points. Is that okay to do? Because especially in relationship to diet and weight, we have several other set points which affect us in our diet and weight. One of those is satiety. There is a satiety set point, a satiation set point, which says when you notice that you've had enough.
And when you're saying set points, are you talking about how, like when you said the hypothalamus is currently set for 200 pounds or something?
Yeah.
Okay, that sort of, not points as in...
No, I'm talking about I'm talking about in the hypothalamus now. Okay. We have a
one
set point.
One of the dials.
Yeah. And by the way, my assumption now when I'm doing any of this is I always use a scale of 0 to 10. Okay? So I'm not talking, when I'm talking weight, I use actual weight. But now I'm using a scale of 0 to 10. Okay? But what happens, so satiety, let me tell you a little about that, because I think you guys all know. I mean, there are times when we eat and we eat and we eat and we eat, and then we realize, oh my God, I was stuffed, you know, a half a plate of dough. Okay? And I just totally overate and I missed it. Well, sometimes that happens because we eat too much, too fast, and so the body doesn't register that we're full, and it's like pouring gas into your car, and it's spilling over, and we didn't notice it, okay? So we need to slow it down a little, and sometimes we notice, but sometimes what happens is we have that little hypothalamic gauge in there is set way up to 7, 8, 9, or 10, and we don't feel full until we are stopped. And so until then, we got the munchies. We want to eat because that's not enough. So generally, you want the satiety set point set someplace around 5, give or take a little, okay?
Did you want practice on me?
Because
mine is off.
Yeah, come on up. Let's do this. Okay?
You were noticing that off recently.
Yeah.
Okay, I am
great.
Perfect
to hold right here.
Victim here.
Yeah. Alright, and so it turns off, good, turns back on. Okay, so it's appropriate to check the hypothalamus for satiety set point. Body says, yes it is, okay? So first I go through and I check the hypothalamic point. Alright, so we got the little puppy over here, and I get an emotion, so conscious, yeah, we'll do that. Thank you. Acceptance, antagonism, willing, anger. Incensed, overwrought, seething, belligerent, yeah, let's stay with it. Wanting to feel more invigorated, okay? And I can have a lot of fun with this because, see, mine goes off all the time, and I can say, oh, I can relate to that, okay. So now I have the point, I have the emotion, okay? So what I'm going to check now is, satiety set point is currently set higher than 5. Yeah, set at 6, at 7, at 8, at 9, at 8.5, okay. So right now, hers is set at 8.5. Okay, that's probably higher than you want to have it set. Okay? But I found out where it's set. So I'm doing a scale of 0 to 10, and so it's set at 8.5. So ideally, satiety ought to be set at something less than that. Yeah. So less than 7, less than 6, less than 5, less than 4, less than 4.5. So less than 5. So someplace right around 4.75. All right, that'll go. Okay, so someplace right around 4 there, okay? And by the way, anorexics, you usually will find a satiety set point at around 2.
Ew, yeah.
They eat a little bite and then they're full. They're stuffed, they're bloated, okay? So I want you to know this works both ways. So now we know hers is set at 8.5, ought to be set at 4.75, okay? And we have the emotion on it, and so now we tap. There's nothing for you to do other than tap the point on the face here. Okay? back now. I retest the point. That's good. Now, because I'm a nice guy, I retest the point, I put it in the circuit, and I'll do something else like conscious, subconscious, enthusiasm, hostility, assurance, fear of loss, assurance, all right. So, motivated, protected, wanting to feel more protected, okay? So, feeling protected, okay, so conscious, subconscious, body, attunement, indifference, pessimistic, rigid. So, feeling rigid, wanting to feel more in balance. So rigid, imbalance, conscious, subconscious, body, attunement, indifference, one separation, oneness, quiet, calm, unified, fulfilled, safe, trying to be more safe. So safe, conscious, subconscious, body, conscious, subconscious, body. I just did that twice. Okay, so now I've just gone some other emotional things, and all those relate somehow to what was keeping that out, or will support that in getting back in, and who cares, okay, because it's going to work. So now I come back and I can dump my circuits and I'm through messing with this, okay? And I can go back and check. So the hypothalamus is currently set at 4 3/4 for satiation. I says yes. Okay? If it wasn't, then I could do something else. But pretty much I've done this, I've done the emotions, I've done whatever else. Sometimes if you just do the tapping and you'll say it's currently set at, in her case, 4 3/4, say no. Oh, okay, there's more we need to do? Yeah, okay, so then go do emotions. That's why I say do something. Just put it in circuit and at least do emotions, okay? So that's how that works. That good?
So after the tapping, you put it in circuit before going for an emotion.
Yeah.
The emotional layer.
Yeah.
Okay.
I test that point, make sure it did get clear, so I know I tapped enough.
Right.
And then I put that clear test in circuit, and now I get the emotions that will support that staying.
So it's a clear test.
Yeah, the clear test for that. For that
becomes like a goal for another sub-balancing. So goals
yeah.
are always positive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So right now the positive goal is like being strong on this thing that you just made.
Right,
yeah.
So I want
yeah.
to hold on to this.
Yeah, so we're now looking at how do we support this set point
okay.
staying that way.
Yeah.
Okay?
Right.
Thanks. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So now
the set point is the satiation scale is like 0 to 10.
0 to 10,
okay.
Yeah. As I say, I just made up a 0.
Okay.
Anything other than weight or anything that's really specifically numerical or measurable, I just use a scale of 0 to 10.
Right.
And yeah. So, now, if you want, and here's the thing, because people sometimes like to be able to do this. Those, I think, somehow, by the way, you guys have to forgive me because my brain is not totally engaged here today. I think those are the triple warmer points on the side of the eye there.
Gallbladder.
Gallbladder, triple warmer.
Oh, good, okay. So gallbladder. So these are gallbladder points. And so what I could say to Jody, all right, I could say to Jody, and by the way, anything doing diet and weight, you want to always give people a habitual half dozen before they eat, to do it before they eat, okay? But I could say to Jody, you know, what you can do before you eat is you can actually tap these points. And you could actually focus on some of the gallbladder meridian emotions, which have to do with love and a choice and things like that. And so you could give a list of a couple of those emotions, give them the points to tap so they can reinforce that. If nothing else, by the way, it breaks the pattern that we have by sitting down at the table in front of a full plate, da da da. Okay? So that can be homework, or you could just let it go. Because a lot of times people want to, the people are like, well, gosh, can I do this on my own? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, if you want to, you sure can.
Yeah.
Okay.
You do that specifically for the satiety one or for
any of them. Any of them, yeah. Yeah, you could do it for the weight one as well, although that's a little harder to do. I mean, it's
like
not
the satiety one's more directly applicable than any given plate of food.
Yeah, and the weight one is a hard one to do, and then people end up just pounding away thinking, again, that'll do everything. So I don't usually do that one, okay? Now,
is the gallbladder the one that's right at the edge, or
yeah.
the one that's down?
It right.
The gallbladder.
What
right
is like
the
right edge. At right at the side, and the triple warmer is a little bit up.
Okay,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
what I was
gallbladder.
To
yeah, it's the lower of the two, and triple warmer is at the edge of the eyebrow.
Okay.
Okay.
We have that chart in here with.
Yeah,
the,
your
with
picture
like
is in there.
Slight emotion.
Yeah. Now, there's another potential set point to check, and that is hunger. When do you get hungry? Do we get hungry when we're still 3/4 full? Do we get hungry when we're at 5? And in your case, that's a bad place to get hungry because you want to be full at 4 3/4. Okay? So you can also check for a hunger set point. Again, it's appropriate to check for the hunger set point. It's either yes or no. If it's no, you don't check, you don't mess with it. If it's yet, yes, hunger is currently set at greater than 5, greater than 6, greater than 7, you know, less than 5, 6, 7, you know, wherever it is, okay? What happens is, by the way, hunger ideally ought to be set fairly low. If I'm going to use your example for the moment. I'm going to say 5 instead of 4 and 3 quarters, okay? So she gets full at 4 and 3 quarters. It'd be real nice if she didn't get hungry until she was like 2.5 or 3. Because you got, then you have
what's
a range.
Why so low? That's what I'm confused about.
Well, why get hungry when you're full?
Yeah,
I'd like you to digest the food. I'd like you to use that up. I'd like you to get down to where you're down to 3 at least. I'm using my mind right now. The body will tell you what you need.
Right.
But I want you to get the concept. At what point do I actually feel hungry? Well, I don't feel hungry when I'm at 5. I feel satiated. I'd like to feel hungry, maybe not until I'm down to 3.
Oh, okay. So
it's actually
the same scale.
It's the same scale, 0 to 10.
Okay.
Yeah, so the problem is, so we set the satiety point now for 5.
Right.
But what if hunger is still set at 6? The problem is, you know, she used to eat to 8.5, and when she got down to 6, she'd be hungry again.
And for me, I think my hunger is set like
no problem.
0,
yeah.
1.
Yeah.
I'm never hungry.
Yeah.
For completely other things. So that's where I was trying to. It's clear to me that there are two different scales. But
yeah.
I was
using the example inappropriately in your case, but just to follow, if somebody is set for satiety at 8 and hunger at 6. You know, obviously they're going to have an eating problem. Okay?
My brain is not...
I know, it's a funny thing.
Yeah.
So right now we just put her satiety, she's satiated, she's full at 5. So she eats her way up to 5, she says, well, that feels really good, I'm comfortable.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
So now she goes off and does stuff. So at what point do I get hungry again? Ideally it's less than 5. Otherwise, I'm going to keep feeling hungry even though my body, you know, I've got mixed messages.
Yeah.
So sometimes when you reset one, you got to reset the other, because sometimes they go up in lockstep.
Yeah.
Okay?
It's like my mind wants to say, well, to be you don't want to be hungry until you're at 8 or something.
That's exactly
right.
That's why I was trying to understand what you're saying.
Hunger, how low does my gas tank have to get before I stop in the station and fill it up?
Yeah.
Okay? So if you look at the gas tank, and it's like, at what point am I happy? At what point is it full? Okay? And so I want I want to go down in gas. I want to run out of gas before I fill up.
Yeah.
I don't want to overflow. This is
the amount you're going to eat.
Yeah.
Because if you're 6 and 8, you know, you're still going to eat about 2 units worth of food. Just like if you're
you
at 3 and 5, you're still going to eat 2 units of food. It's just like the base level of food in you is lower.
You want to get hungry later, but at a lower. You want to get hungry at a lower level. You don't want to be hungry until you're almost out of gas.
Got it. Now that makes sense.
Okay.
Got it.
All right.
You don't want to have hunger come up until you really body.
Yeah, the body's saying, I need. Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Otherwise, you're hungry when you don't need to be.
That's
eating.
Exactly right. That's exactly right. Okay. So some of these things are a little. It's sort of like a lot of.
That's
things you have to wrap your brain around.
The metaphor word, thanks.
Yeah.
That was the same.
Okay. So you've got a hunger level.
Good.
You've got a satiation level. You've got a weight kind of bottom level that the body's pulling you to or stopping you at. Okay. The other thing that sometimes is helpful is a metabolic level. But there's, you know, one of the things about weight, you know, exercise is supposed to increase your metabolism.
Mm-hmm.
And there are different kinds of exercise will increase it for different durations during the day, and that's why some anaerobic exercise will actually keep your metabolism higher through the day, because the body's rebuilding the muscles that were torn down while you're doing the weights and the stuff like that. And, you know, but the point is, if you have a higher level of metabolism, if you're burning your food at a faster rate, it helps you lose weight. So if you have a constant input, but you increase the burn rate, you're going to end up burning your storage, the fat. So
a lot of times, again, because of yo-yo dieting, metabolism gets totally screwed up. When you actually starve yourself, your metabolism turns almost totally off. Mm-hmm. Because it can't afford to burn anything. It's kind of like it's feeling, you're going to starve me and I'm not going to burn any reserves. That's why they tell you, if you guys watch Biggest Loser and stuff like that, they tell you, you got to eat enough to keep your body from going into preservation disaster mode. Yeah, from going into panic, yeah. But sometimes this yo-yo dieting, sometimes this other stuff, it turns our metabolism just totally way low. So you've got people who actually exercise like mad, who eat really, really, you know, sensibly and frugally, and they don't lose weight because their body doesn't burn anything. I mean, they're really efficient, okay?
Yeah.
So, what you want is you want a higher burn rate. So you can check again. It's appropriate to check the hypothalamus for the metabolic rate. And again, on our scale of 0 to 10, if somebody's actually trying to lose weight, it would probably be beneficial to have a metabolic rate someplace between 5 and 10, rather than someplace between 0 and 5. Okay.
It seems like can a overly high metabolic rate ever be a problem? I mean, maybe it's just an efficiency thing. Like sometimes I feel like I can get away with eating more stuff, or especially more unhealthy stuff, because like I somehow just like burn it all away, even if I don't feel like I'm a super active person most of the time, which is handy, you know. I can't say I don't appreciate it, but on the other hand, it also seems like inefficient. Like why can't I just sort of eat less?
Yeah. And so again, you have a situation, and again, this could be not you, but this could be what could show up in an anorexic person.
Right.
Okay. You actually have, and that's why, you know, a lot of thyroid, overactive thyroid and stuff, people can actually lose weight. I forget what that's called. It's
Graves.
Yeah, thank you. So the weight can go, so that's where it really could create a problem if it's overactive. Okay? And so it all is conditional upon, you know, what's appropriate for your body at your level of activity in your life and what you eat and all that kind of stuff. And again, people with high metabolism can get away with eating junk food, which hurts them in other ways as well. So life is not all about how much do I weigh.
It's
like about what am I ingesting. Okay? So you can actually eat the wrong kinds of food, burn them off fine, not gain any weight, but have negative effects, have unhealthy effects in your physiology. So yes, you want to just check, see where it's set and what it's ideally set for.
And when you check this, specifically this one, maybe the others also, how much is it a very general setting versus what's going on right now? Like if I had just eaten or if I hadn't eaten for a day, is that going to affect it?
Yeah, it's the intention, and the intention is a general overall.
Okay.
Yeah, and you can actually say it that way, okay? So the normal metabolic rate is currently set for.
Okay.
Or the normal.
That's what the hypothalamus is about, is setting the normal point and getting things there.
Yeah, it's not
always there.
Exactly. So it's the thermostat. I don't care whether I'm hot or whether I'm not, if the thermostat's set the way it's supposed to be. Yeah.
Okay.
So it is going to be what your long-term setting is to be. So those four set points, well, you got to kind of figure out how to think about them all. Those four set points have a direct impact on weight issues. And frankly, by the way, on diet issues, on what we eat and how we eat and how we process it and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And in terms of the wrong kinds of food, you can look at habits and addictions. And that's where, you know, doing things like the habitual half dozen will really help change the kind of food, you know, the cravings that we have, the kinds of foods that we want to eat, so that we can make better food choices. There are a lot of pieces of this puzzle, and the hypothalamus is just a part of that. Now, the other pieces where hypothalamus sometimes comes in, emotions primarily. You notice we use the hypothalamus set points for the fight-flight emotions when we did those a couple of weeks ago. But you can have somebody who flies off the handle, you know, for no reason. You know, you could have, you know, the bipolar kinds of things. And so you can check set points for emotional sensitivity. Okay? Or you can check set points for emotional responses.
So what's an example of that? Like, I'm having trouble visualizing the scale.
Okay, great. So 0 to 10. And in here, by the way, what would happen is, you know, above 5 would be, I'll say, overly reactive. So that's somebody who'd be likely to fly off the handle, go into a rage, do those kinds of things.
Do you pick a specific emotion first, or are you just saying, like, emotion?
Yeah, usually there's something goes, I mean, usually you're dealing with something that's come up before. I mean, I know it's something that the person's working on, an emotion. They're working on road rage, for instance.
Okay.
Or they're working on, you know, having arguments with their spouse, or they're working on depression, for heaven's sakes.
Anger.
You know, they're working on anger. I mean, it can be high or low, but what we're doing is we've got to, you know, you can play with the hypothalamus, the set points for those. And yeah, I mean, do you want them high? Do you want them low? Do you want to be reactive? Do you not want to be reactive?
So let's say they picked feeling depressed or something
right.
as the emotion.
Yeah.
So what is the setting of?
Okay. So generally, so here's where you got to get a little creative. Yeah. Because what's happening is that you've got depression, which is usually a lack of something else, like joy. I mean, I'm going to just be really dumb about it. So it may be, in point of fact, that the hypothalamus is set really low for joy or for feeling on purpose or for whatever it is. So rather than dealing with depression, okay.
So first of all, convert it into a positive.
Convert it into a positive so that you actually can be working with now upping the quotient of stuff that you want to have. So optimism, pessimism, by the way. I mean, that's a wonderful scale. I put pessimism down at 0, put optimism up at 10. Okay?
So you might just make it an optimism scale.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'd assume pessimism is at 0 and optimism is 10, and you can make it an optimism scale. Or you can have an optimism scale and a pessimism scale, and you want to make sure that pessimism is set really low and optimism is set really high.
So you would.
And by the way, pessimism not to 0, because you need to have some healthy skepticism, as it were.
Yeah.
You need to have some, I think. Okay, but you can find out. Go ahead, you guys.
Sorry. So you're saying you do two separate processes for each one of them.
You could. You could actually check
or
for pessimism,
or you could do
optimism, pessimism, and see where the person is. They're more pessimistic. They're more optimistic.
Okay.
Or so depending on what you want to do, or what seems appropriate in that case, or what you muscle test to do, you can actually set a scale from pessimism to optimism. 0 to 10, and see where they fall, and see where they should fall, and what it's set for, and what it ought to be set for, and do it. Or you could have just an optimism scale, or you could have do a pessimism scale and make sure it's set low, and an optimism scale and make sure it's set high.
Okay, so the first example where you're saying, okay, somebody's depressed, what that actually means is they need to feel more or something positive like joy.
Yeah.
You could also do that as a depressed to joyful scale, or just as here's the level of joy.
Yeah.
Okay, so the depressed to joyful scale, that sort of makes sense. It's like, okay, somewhere around here is where we generally want to land
yeah.
on that scale.
Don't want to be manic, but I don't want to be depressed either. Yeah,
if
right.
If it's just like, here's our joyometer,
uh-huh.
What does so a high number would mean we try to be about, or any number means we
keeps
try to be about that much joyful at any given
you bet.
Time.
So
and if we're not that happy, we try and do something to get that
to
happy.
To get that happy, yeah.
Okay, so that's why those are high.
Yeah.
And like if it's pessimism, that can be low, because
I'll take a little of
high,
that.
Then they're really pessimistic, and we don't need
mm-hmm.
to be that pessimistic, so we go back down.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you notice, but it's not an exact science, is what I'm trying to tell you guys. You're getting this picture. Go ahead, Betty.
How do you introduce, I guess it's like, how do you introduce the process again? It's like you're going, okay, so is it appropriate to check hypothalamic?
Okay, so now you're going.
Is it appropriate to check that for emotion?
No, so let's, we're going through your priority list.
Okay.
Okay, you go down, it says hypothalamic recess is on there.
Right.
Okay, great. So this has to do with systems and stuff in the body. So physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, financial relationship, do your checklist again. Or you'll go, you know what, this probably has to do with this whole emotional thing we've been dealing with in this balancing. Let's check it's appropriate to do this for emotions.
Okay.
You know,
got
and
it.
So you got to do a little, but that's when it comes up. The whole idea of having a priority list, whether it's finger modes or whether it's a written list, the whole idea of doing that is to keep us from doing what I'm doing a lot of right here, which is making things up. Oh, that's a case where I would use this, because we don't really know. Okay, so I'm kind of saying, you know, you can make it up, but I want you to be able to recognize if this comes up that these are some possible reasons that might have come up and help you be able to find a way to address it and use it. But it wouldn't come up. I wouldn't want you just making up. Somebody comes in for road rage. You say, well, we're going to start with a hypothalamic reset point.
Right.
It's appropriate to do this. No, you just do your regular balancing. You take what comes up, and if the reset points come up, terrific. It's appropriate to test these for the level of rage. You bet it is. Okay. It's currently set at, set at 10. No wonder. Okay, good. It ought to be set at, oh, 3. Okay, good. You know, so mildly pissed instead of enraged.
Yeah. So
okay.
Did you skip a step in there? Would you have gone, okay, hypothalamic resets went out. Now, do we do this on emotional, on diet and weight, on...
No, I just said if somebody came in for road rage and came in, you say, so it's
so
a problem.
So you can skip that point.
Yeah, I can skip that. I can go right to the goal if it's real
know.
Obvious. I have to check it still. So it's appropriate to do the recess for specifically for
not,
road rage. If it's not, then
you say, okay, there's something else emotional, there's something else, I don't know what other category.
Physical, mental,
to.
Emotional, spiritual, financial,
okay.
Relationship. By the way, relationships, same kind of thing. You know, talk about commitment issues. You know, what level do we does the guy bail? Because it's always the guys that bail. Women never have commitment issues, okay? You know. So again,
yeah.
you can use this concept.
Know.
Like, great, up to about 2, I'm good. But you talk about, you know, a second date, I'm out of here, okay? and so, you get those things. Anything can be done with this. I forget what the other example was. I just threw out there, but sure, sure, because. Because again, you're looking at, again, that's a level of comfort. How deep a level of intimacy am I willing to go to? Am I, you know, at what level do I bail out again? Okay? So be creative. If this comes up and you're working on a specific goal or issue, you can find out if it's appropriate to do it for that goal. If it's not, again, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, financial, relationship, you know, any of those things. I mean, financial, good thing. You know, a lot of people, by the way, I don't know if you're aware of this, a lot of people have or had trouble making more money than their parents or making more money than the persons that they admire. A lot of people actually believe that they only deserve a certain amount of income, anything beyond that. In relationship, you know, sometimes relationships are so good that people say, I can't stand it, and they leave.
Mm.
Okay? Because they're not used to things being this good. There's got to be a cat, you know. And so we do have, we can just make a scale for anything. Okay? I mean, the amount of money I think I deserve. You hit this, and that's as far as you go. No wonder. I mean, by the way, I did that. It was really funny in my life, and I finally went back and I found the pattern. And it always came in increments. It was really, yeah, that's weird. But I was like, fourth grade, fifth grade, and I took care of a neighbor kid for like a month during the summer, and because the parents went out of town, and so he came in, he's like 3 or 4. So anyway, they came down and they paid me $1,000 when they came back, and I was thrilled. My dad made me give it all back except $100.
Oh,
right?
Wow.
So the first time in my life that I had $100,000, I lost all the $10,000.
Oh, 10%?
Yeah. So, and this pattern hits a couple of times, and I just notice that all of a sudden it's like chunk, and I've got this, I hit this limit, I hit some magic number, and it goes right back down to what it was before. And I'm going, wait a minute. You know, so great, so you clear those patterns. But I'm saying that's an ideal circumstance to look at what are the resets. Was hypothalamic reset or not, doesn't matter. That's a great vehicle to use, okay? But it really looks at, there are limits, there are patterns, there are beliefs that we have about how good, how bad, what we deserve, what we don't. So a lot of applications for this concept, and the reset points are a nice way to work with it. Okay? Yeah.
I have a question about,
yeah.
You were talking about the weight reset, if you can only do it in increments. When you, if the person loses weight down to that,
sure, you
next one, then you have to do it again, or does it
automatically? Yeah, sometimes it automatically adjusts because the body says, hey, now you're working with me, I'm working with you, we're not overstressing, we can keep playing this game and we'll just take it down gently. But if they get stuck again, they come back in, they balance again, you check it again. And sometimes, by the way, they get stuck again and you find out it's actually gotten reset, you know, higher than you reset it for. I mean, it got bumped somehow. And that's where you look at lifestyle stuff. Or, well, yeah, I did, you know, this little binging thing or this little thing over here, or I don't, you know, I got depressed or I got whatever. Great, do some balancing on whatever emotional stuff is along with all of that. You know, and that's where the rest of the diet and weight workshop stuff helps, because a lot of times people run into stuff as they are losing weight, their self-image changes, and it's not always positive. They get into areas. A lot of people, by the way, put on lots of weight because they've been sexually abused. You know, or they put on lots of weight because they don't want to be promiscuous, which they would definitely be if they were, you know, slim and sexy. You know, it's like we have all kinds of things going on. So it's a process. It's not all one piece. You know, that's why the diet and weight is really a series of things that you can do as a workshop or as several processes or just ways to look at things to help round out the picture. Yeah. So any other questions about all of that? All right. That's good for now.
Seems like it might be another case where it would be handy to just write up a quick list of potential scales to check under each category, not to stick with them, because obviously, like, if they have a goal that's very clear,
sure, but you, that way you don't go brain dead when it comes up.
Yeah. So if it's not obvious, you have some stuff to go down and check for. But if you do have somebody,
yeah, well, it comes
up
mental.
I got the emotion right here, then
yeah.
You can just go with it.
Yeah, it comes up mental, you know, reset for something mental. I mean, what in the world? Like, yeah, it'd be nice to have a little list.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So you don't go blank somewhere. Yeah.
Just for the folks who go, I don't know.
Yeah. And by the way, part of our benefit from balancing other people is that we run up against our limitations. We run up against our need to know, our need to be good at what we're doing, or need to be right, or understanding, or whatever it is. And our job is, as we notice these things, to just acknowledge them and keep right on going so that we can clear. So when Graham says you have a list of these things, I mean, yeah, I have a short list, you know, but that's it. And I acknowledge that's an area where I kind of get stuck or tied in there. It's an area where I do much better, however, when I'm actually in a balancing, because I can tell myself, okay, great, I got it. I know this is an area where I usually freeze up. I get to just relax, and then I start making associations and things come to me, okay? But I don't get that as long as I'm trying to figure it out. So part of it is I do what you do. I wonder where you got this. I make lists of things. So that I don't, you know, so that I have a backup plan. And so whatever you need to do to help yourself kind of feel comfortable and feel secure in the process, you do. But pretty soon you're going to notice you just can do it. So that's part of our healing. And if you notice you're really getting invested or really have opinions or you really have judgments, that's part of your healing. And set it aside as much as you can, acknowledge it, move on, balance the person, love them, and then if you need to balance yourself or get somebody to balance you to heal up whatever came up, do that. Because this, we're never going to know every possibility that's going to come up. You're always going to be that realm of the unknown, no matter how well I plan it. And there have been times, by the way, when I don't do it as much, you know, I'm not as flexible, I'm not as fluid, there are things, you know, I don't remember things as well now and all that kind of stuff. You know, so there are times when I feel good because I can go, okay, so I'm going to see this person. Okay, so here's some possibilities. All right, great. So, you know, if I got stuck, okay, good. You know, it's the same thing with, you know, doing a sermon on Sunday morning, you know. I mean, it used to be I could just, you know, do a sermon, you know. And now I make an outline. Actually, I used to make one, too. I make a more detailed outline in case I need it. But then I'm relaxed, and then I don't necessarily need it. And if I do, it's there. You know what I'm saying? So that's part of our healing, is to notice where it is we get stuck, where we feel insecure, where we need to take care of ourselves, and then we need to heal that, clear that. Okay? All right.
Just because you've worked with this a lot, would you be willing to go through, like, mental, physical, spiritual, relationship, emotional, and just give us, like, three ideas for each one that we may
Oh, for reset?
Yeah.
Well, physical, obviously, I gave you all of those that had the diet things, you know, that's all good. Also, by the way, you can look at endurance, you can look at actual physical strength, you can look at reaction response, you know, things like that. Now, some of those are not, they may not be appropriate.
Yeah.
But some of them, for instance, if somebody has a really, really strongly inbuilt fast twitch response, okay, but they just can't, they're just sluggish to beat the band, it may be that it's the reset that needs to take them back up to where they are naturally, okay? But we don't all have the same level of endurance or the same level of speed or the same level of strength. So it's all relative to the person. So physical, mental, I did say something about that. There is a tolerance for, I'll say, ambiguity, a tolerance for the unknown, and that's mental. There's a point at which there's a tolerance for randomity. You know, how many particles can I have floating in my space before I get totally overwhelmed and shut down? Okay? So mental is sort of like, and it's focus. How focused can I be? So again, you've got a scale of 0 to 10. Now, how long can I stay focused? Or how much detail? How much big picture? I mean, you can play with these kind of things, but that's just off the top of my head, so that's mental. Physical, mental, emotional. Okay, so all of the emotions themselves. Okay, we've talked kind of a lot about that. Physical, mental, emotional, spiritual. So what you have there, it comes back in it, and that could tie into relationship things. So I'll kind of hit them at the same, because a lot of times spiritual is our relationship with some sort of a supreme being and or our relationship with ourselves and the world around us. Okay, but it can be our self-image. It can be our image, by the way, of our level of trust. Okay? It can be the degree to which we deserve to be loved, supported, you know, taken care of, whatever. It can be our level of stress is actually a good one to do, and it could apply in any of these areas. Well, it looks like it's physical. You know, how hard do I think things have to be? You know? It's like it's not worth doing unless it's an 8 or a 10 on the stress scale. You know? Otherwise, I mean, you know, what's the big deal? I mean, so some of us like that, okay? Financial is real easy. Again, the deserving, the levels of income, the level of success, levels of responsibility that I'm willing to take, relationship levels of commitment, levels of intimacy, you know. So lots of different ways. Does that give you a...
Yeah,
okay,
that's exactly
great, great. Okay, so just, again, to open up a couple possibilities in each area, just says, okay, great, I won't go brain dead if it comes up, okay?
That's like me. I mean, usually if I do my notes ahead of time, then I don't need them.
Exactly.
But if I don't, then...
Yeah. Well, you know what happens? We actually create what it is we're afraid of. Whatever we pay attention to, we get more of. So if I'm worried about not knowing, I'm going to not know.
We all kept coming up with the things that we need the most practice on the priority balance.
Yes, exactly. We were great at that.
Yeah. Even like I was totally going to skip the finger modes, but like there was nothing
Same.
Left on balancing, nothing left on clearing. Like, okay, finger modes, yep, there it is. There were a couple of those, yeah. Like, oh, yeah, I needed to practice that. Yeah, you got to do the whole
14
muscle balance.
Yeah. That's good, yeah. And by the way, I'm glad a couple of you guys could get together, and I'm glad you braved the climb, and sorry about being locked out and all that. So. But it worked. They were locked out the first Wednesday.
Yeah.
So she had to she tried shimmying up the tree, and then she had to finally open the utility door there because it was open, and she climbed on top of that.
Grandpa climbed up the door, and then another pull up onto the balcony is the problem.
I can't even imagine. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's do sound balance. Then we're gonna take a break. Okay. And then we're gonna do.
Which
is sound balance.
Oh, okay.
Then we'll take a break. Sound balance comes in lots of different flavors, by the way. My favorite flavor, of course, you could go to. We could go to the chart that you have, okay, the five element thing. There's two ways that you can play sound balance, okay? Actually, there's three. So you can choose whichever, so when it comes up, you do the one you want to do. Or you can know that there's three and you can fine-tune it from there, okay? There actually is a small intestine thymus sound balance.
Oh, my.
And that's in your big book, by the way. So, and what that involves is it actually involves playing. You need one of these little pillow speaker microphone things that sticks out of a cassette player or something. It involves playing, like, Baroque music over the alarm point for small intestine or over the thymus gland to strengthen the system. And so it's a bizarre little thing, but it just somehow rebalances. And why small intestine? I mean, you know, you've heard that the intestines are linked to the brain. I think you've heard that, but at any rate, they are. But small intestine, you could look at the emotions for it as well. But for some reason, it's just really, really receptive. And if you look at small intestine, the primary job of small intestine is to internally, physiologically, food-wise, is to really take out the nutrition that we need and distribute it to where it needs to go. So if you use that metaphorically in terms of the energy of the music, it actually can help distribute that where it needs to go. But at any rate, so that's a small intestine or a thymus sound balance, and that's usually involving a tape recorder and a player, and the sound played directly over the alarm point, and it's all described in there when you might use it and when you might not.
In the big book.
In the big book, yeah.
Kind
of
like Baroque music.
Yeah. And it's almost Baroque music, yeah. If it ain't Baroque, don't fix it, yeah. That works the best.
Okay.
And there's some classical that'll work.
Mozart.
And what happens is you get the test. And so if you're gonna play that game, you wanna make sure you have to. See, that's why if you don't have the tools to do it, you don't even put it on your list. Yeah. Not willing to do that. I don't put it on my list. But
so
I just
sounds like of a microphone or something.
Yeah. There's a little round pillow speaker you get at Radio Shack. The kind of people used to put under their pillows and play the sound so only can hear them. Yeah.
Yep.
And then they just go right on the point. So you can get them at Radio Shack for $7 or something like that. So on your emotions chart, it also gives you musical notes.
Okay, where is
on the emotional chart, for each element, it'll give you the musical note. So for the fire element, the musical note C. Now, it's right up there in the little notes up top. Yeah,
I see it.
All right. Yes. So it tells you which musical note will balance that element. Now, if you want to have fun sometime, you always like to have fun, but what you do is you get yourself a little pitch pipe. You know, one of those little...
I
used to.
Yeah,
that was my big bag. Okay. You know, one of those little pitch pipe things, because it has all those major notes on it.
Yeah.
Well, you have to get... If you get a guitar one, it won't, because those aren't all, like...
I'm not a musical kind of guy.
Pitch pipes tend to be like, here's one with all six notes of a guitar string. Ukulele whatever. So you have to like pay attention to what you're getting.
Yeah, okay. Make sure you got all the notes you want to have. Yeah. All right. So here's one of the things you can do. If you're doing a 14 muscle balance, just for fun, if you want to try this sometime, what you can do is you find a muscle that's out of balance. So stomach meridian is out of balance. Okay? So instead of rubbing the points, what you do is you say stomach. That's the earth element. That's the note E. And you can just play the note E. And just like humming a note, okay? But you play it because I don't hum that. I'm not on pitch, okay? And then you can muscle test, 20 seconds or something like that. And then you muscle test again, and it'll be strong. because that'll balance either stomach or spleen meridian. Now,
could you play that note on an instrument?
Yeah, sure.
Like
an E. And
note.
Let's see.
A chord.
Who wants to volunteer for
it? A chord.
I love the volunteer.
It's just easy. So hold right here for me. Hold that. Here, I'm going to try a couple different muscles for a moment. I'm just looking for something. Hold that in there for me. Hold that. That's good. And this one. Hold that. That could be better. Okay, that's good. Heart. All right. So here's what I want you to do.
Okay.
What I want you to do is hum a note. Now hum a different note. That actually works. I don't know why she went down, but that worked. Okay.
I think that's around a C, actually.
All right. So hum it a little more.
The same note?
Yeah, same note. Let's see if you got it. Keep humming. A little lower it was. There, that's the one. Keep humming it. All right, now see how I found the note, by the way? I don't have to know what it is, and it doesn't even have to be a real note. Have the person hum a note till the muscle gets strong. And then, after she's done that for a little bit, made a fool of herself, you test again and the muscle is strong. Okay?
Yeah. It's like that was heart, and you said fire with C.
Oh, yeah.
Heart.
Yeah.
I think that is around a C.
Okay.
Like from where it feels. And
yeah.
Well, I knew that. That's why I did that. Right.
Okay. Yeah. So that's kind of fun. So even if you don't have a pitch pipe, don't have anything, have the person hum a note until they find a note that makes it strong. So that's a way to play that game. And by the way, that's one of the thousands of reasons why music is so healing. I mean, thousands of reasons, but that's just a minor detail. But it does balance those elements. The one I want to focus on. So that's two different sound balances. The one I want to focus on today is the expressions, is what I'll call them. The expression for fire is laughter. The expression for earth is singing. It's on your chart here still, okay? In that upper left-hand corner there on fire, it says laughter, the color red, the note C. Mm-hmm. Laughter, red, C, okay? But that's where you find it. Each of the elements has an expression, an emotional expression that's associated with it. So let's go back to five elements 101. In the creation cycle, fire creates earth. Earth creates or gives energy to metal. Metal creates or gives energy to water. Water gives energy to wood. And wood gives energy to fire. Okay? So it's just going around that circle. That's the creation cycle. Now, where we run out of energy, where things aren't working well, you can look at mine. And then over. No, it's not hiding on the back of that one. So, yeah, you can just look at that if you want. So what happens is we need to be able to comfortably and without stress move energy through all of the elements. Actually, to you guys, it looks like this, that way. Okay, good. And so that means that one of the things we can do is we can work with the sounds or the expressions to help open up any blocked energy. So a really effective sound balance. Oh, they're gonna love this. Let me see if she has a client.
Oh good. We can play music.
I
want to
grow.
Oh,
you can do
no,
it.
No, we're not gonna play music.
You can do it quietly.
We'll do this in a subdued way. Okay.
No fire.
So what we're gonna do is this. No groaning yet. All right. So what we're gonna do right now is we're gonna do a little laughter for about 20 seconds. Come on, make a fool of yourself. Just laugh. Yeah, pretty soon it gets real. All right. And now what you want to do is you want to sing. Any song doesn't matter. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to me.
Over the rainbow, the stars are so blue.
Now you want to cry.
Oh,
you want to groan. And now we don't want to blow them out next door, but you want to shout. You can be angry, you can be happy. All right, let's do it. And then you want to laugh again.
Yeah.
I know, you don't feel like laughing now. All right, good. So, that's a sound balance for you, okay? Now, here's the tricky part. Which one was hardest? Crying was hardest. Which one was hardest?
Crying or singing?
Crying?
Shouting.
Shouting? Okay.
Yeah. I don't know.
Laughing at first, but not at the end.
Okay. Not groaning, huh?
No.
I love to groan.
You love to groan. Oh, good. One of the things that we recognize is this. The one that's the hardest usually is the one that has the meridian that's out for you most often. Betty Lou, never even the concept of groaning wasn't even in her life. I mean, there's no thought of it. And we did this and realized that the meridian that was consistently out of balance for her at this time was the kidney meridian. Okay? And it's sort of like, so, just know that you have a good chance of having trouble with the expression that's related to the meridian that's most often out of balance for you.
So, was that cycle the balance?
Yeah.
But on the other one, you actually test and then make the sound or play the note for the...
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, this is the balance. This is an overall five-element balance using sound.
Okay.
And what it does, it wakes up each of the five elements so that they're able to pass along energy to the next of the five elements, and so we get a good flow going.
Okay. So that isn't even a different version of the other thing. It's actually a different thing.
It's a whole different balance.
Okay,
that's exactly
right. It just
has
the same name.
Yeah, yeah. And I could say sound balance is kind of the generic term, and underneath sound balance there are three very different kinds of sound balance. One is to use a musical note. One is to do that small intestine thymus thing. And the third one is to do the expressions. Now I'm going to give you a little more thorough.
Laughter, there are a whole bunch of meridians, or
one.
Yeah.
Or artist.
Yeah. There's four in fire, and that's just the way that works, and it works for all of them. Yeah.
So it sort of doesn't point to any one particular.
No. And the others, you have one of two. All I'm saying is that if you do lots of balancing, lots of 14 muscle balances, and you find that there's a particular meridian that comes up again and again and again, look at that expression and see if maybe that's something you might want to do. The other thing is, I'm going to give you just a little more thorough, and then I promised you a break, and we'll take it. But a little more thorough version of this balancing. Okay? So, by the way, if this came up, you just would do that, and what that does, really, it just breaks up the energy, opens up, frees up the energy in each of the elements so that it's able to move smoothly around that cycle. Well, there are actually two cycles back to five elements 101. There's the creation cycle, which is each feeding energy. But if we had unlimited energy continually cycled around and increasing as we go, what happens is we kind of explode. And so nature, in its balanced way, has a control cycle. And the control cycle makes sure that you don't have too much energy in any one place. And that control cycle runs in the inside. So what happens here is that fire controls, I can do it better when I can see it. Fire controls metal, because fire can melt metal, okay? Mm-hmm. Metal controls wood, because wood can cut, metal can cut wood. Wood controls earth, because it can penetrate, and earth controls water, because you make a dam, and water controls fire, because you can put it out. And what you end up with is you end up with that Star of David in there, okay? Right. That's the control cycle. So in order to do a really thorough sound balance, what you do is you do the creation cycle. So laugh, sing, cry, groan, shout, laugh. And then you go down to the control cycle, see if I can do it down to cry, from laugh to cry, which is metal, from cry to shout, which is wood, from shout to sing, which is earth, from sing to groan, which is water, and from groan to laugh, which is fire. So what you've done is you've gone around the creation cycle and freed up the energy, so theoretically it's now flowing around the creation cycle. Then you run through the control cycle to make sure that every element is paying attention to the element it's supposed to help not get over energized, so things stay balanced.
Cool.
Okay? So that's the complete sound balance.
You're doing it in them in that order?
Yeah, because so I do creation first to get it flowing, and then control to make sure it doesn't overflow anywhere.
Okay.
But you want to make sure it flows first before you start to control.
Backwards from checking the over-energy alarm points and then checking the under-energy muscles.
Yeah, except this really isn't about over and under-energy. This is about regulating the flow.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And by the way, this is a great piece of homework. The control cycle, not so much, because it's hard for people to remember that, but a great homework, especially for people who commute a lot, is to do sound balance in their car on the way to work, on the way home. It's a great pattern interrupt, if nothing else, especially, you know, if you're getting bored, if you're getting tired, if you're getting angry, if you're getting, you know, whatever it is, it really helps to move your energy around all of the elements and wakes up all of the meridians. And it's real easy to do, because after a couple of times, if you just write it down once, you know, laugh, sing, cry, groan, shout, laugh, okay? Most people can remember to do that, or write it on a little note for them. But again, I've given that to somebody as homework. Not really a full-blown road rage person, but somebody who came in noting that that's the most stressful part of her day, and she just gets so, you know, no about it, you know. And so sound balance came up, and so we did it and laughed about it and sent her away with homework. And so now whenever she gets stressed on the freeway, she just does her sound balance. So you can use anything for homework. All right, did you get them all? So it's laugh, sing, cry, or weep, it says on there probably,
yeah.
Groan, shout, and then laugh. Always complete that cycle.
Yeah.
Okay?
And the control cycle.
Cycle is you go from laughter to crying to shouting. So laughter, so it's fire to metal.
That's what, yeah, fire, metal, wood, earth, water, fire.
Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
I just wanted to
go.
Make sure, because this is in the system.
Yeah. Okay? So plenty of good things. So that's a fun one, and by the way, that's a fun thing to do if you're ever doing a workshop, or a class, or a group, or a nature hike, for heaven's sakes, you know? I mean, if you're ever doing anything and you want to just kind of shift the energy, this is a great thing to do. So, it's fun. Alright.
If this comes up on a priority list, you would just get an emotion and then just do it.
Just
there's
do it.
No check.
No. Nope. There's no figuring out what it is, you know, what's it about or what it's doing. You're
just
doing
it.
Yeah, just look at this one as a way to kind of shake up and wake up all of the elements and help the energy to move freely through them.
If you don't remember the order, can you just do them and it's still beneficial or no?
It's still beneficial, but it doesn't help with the flow. You want to
yeah.
do it. And
yeah.
by the way, if you don't remember the...
No, I know, but if you're out on a walk or doing something
yeah.
and want to do
if you
it,
don't remember the order,
thing,
then go
yeah.
back and check it and find out which one you didn't remember.
Aha, uh-huh, that's the
yeah,
one you
yeah,
need.
Exactly. Yeah, so that's real good, because you do it a couple of times and you ought to remember. And so it's always fun to notice out of anything. You know, what's the one thing I forgot? Oh, my gosh, you know, that's the one I need to work on. Okay,
yeah.
So that's good. Okay, anything else about all of this? All right, let's take about 10 minutes, 15 minutes at the most. and we'll come back and we'll do shock absorbers, do a little elaboration on figure eights for different layers, and a fun, funny little thing called contralateral joints, and then anything else that we think up or make up to complete. Okay? So get some water, get some air, get some movement, and remember there are at least two sessions, probably three, going on down the hallway there. So.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes, absolutely. Okay, let me just do this.